tonight. I know that I always quote this, the scripture verse, wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he's there in our midst. Someone said one time, do we really believe that he's in our midst? I believe that everyone that is can see in the Spirit can sense his presence. Amen? And that God wants to touch us tonight. I have been seeing since the start of this conference the move of the Spirit. Since we first started the first meeting, what was it on? Was it Wednesday night? Wednesday night, yes. That the Spirit of God came into this place and began to start to open us up to God. And you know, God sees not only our beginning, he sees our end. He actually saw the beginning of our conference, and he also saw the end of it before we even started it. Hallelujah. And so, with him knowing all that, do you know he really orchestrated every one of us to be here, whether we wanted to or not? You know, sometimes some of you young people do things not because you personally want to do it, but because your parents tell you you need to do it. But nevertheless, whether you came here willingly or that you came because you were told you needed to come, God still has a provision for you. Hallelujah. Because, you know, God is, he's not only a God of love, but he is the one that has made all creation. He made man after his image and likeness. And so he knows us in a very special way. You ever think about that? How much God knows us? Huh? Right now he knows every hair on every head here in this room. That's a lot of knowledge, wouldn't you say? Huh? Knows the exact number of hairs on your head. And at the same time, he knows the hair on my head. And on your head, everyone. I mean, this is a God that knows. You can't even think how much that God knows of everything that he knows. Amen? So if this is a God that made us and called us, what do you think that is in his mind for each one of us, you and I? Think about that. And think about the hour that we live in. I think someone asked the question here, how many people here believe that we are living in the end times? Raise your hands. Huh? That we believe that we're living in the end of times. You know, the end of times, it's called the great and terrible day of the Lord. You know, sometimes when you hear of things happening, it can make you a little fearful, can't it not? Yes or no? Yes? Huh? But I tell you what, there is a place where fear does not have to be in the lives of God's people. Because the Bible tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? So as I was saying, you know, from the start of this very conference, God has a plan and a purpose. And the first purpose he had to do was to get us being more in tune to what the Spirit was saying and wants to do, that would begin to make us more aware of the Spirit than the natural. Isn't that true? Huh? We're very much aware of the natural, aren't we? We're very much aware of what we are physically, our surroundings. But you know, something about in the Spirit is a much different realm. It's a much higher realm. It's a place where not only God dwells, but his heavenly host dwells. And it is a place that's not far away. It's right here. Hallelujah. Huh? We used to be taught, or people would always say, well, heaven is up there and hell is down below. But you know, people nowadays, even the heathen, are beginning to know where hell is. Did you know that? Hell is right here. All you have to do is open up the newspapers and you read about hell. Huh? You read about the darkness that is encroaching the world. Hallelujah. And yet, sometimes we read it, But sometimes you can either read it in a wrong light. Because if you don't couple it in what you know God is going to do in spite of the darkness, it can make you afraid. It can make you begin to wonder and to think, and maybe to the point that you may not even be looking forward to midnight. But you know, the Bible says that God is going to come. He's going to appear to all those that love His appearing. How many of us want to see Jesus? Huh? If we want to see Jesus, guess what? We're going to see Him at midnight. We're going to see Him at the darkest time of the earth. Hallelujah. So God has been speaking to us this week, and He's been wanting us to not only open ourselves up to the spiritual realm, but to begin to look at ourselves and to see what kind of spiritual condition we are in. Huh? What kind of a condition are we in our relationship with God and in the relationship with others according to what the Word of God says? And I believe that I think we can all do a little self-examination and realize that we are not in the place we should be. Amen? And we saw the one night the Word was talking about change, and there was an altar call, and almost everyone in this room came forward because they knew they needed change in their life, right? Amen? Amen. And God has been speaking more to us concerning our foundation. The things, especially when we talk about the brazen altar and our walk with God. Do you know, someone shared one time that every church there is in every position in the tabernacle and outside the tabernacle. And what I mean by that is in this congregation here, there are probably some people that are not even in the tabernacle. They're outside. They need to be born again. And there are some that have been born again but have never actually had the experience of either being baptized with the Holy Spirit or have taken the further step of committing themselves to being water baptized, meaning going all the way with God. Hallelujah. And there are those that are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and yet they are not obeying the Holy Spirit because they should be in the holy place, because it says, by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Hallelujah. And so the operation of the holy place is also dependent upon your obedience to the Holy Spirit. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Brother Mark was speaking, I think it was last night, Brother Mark, of your experiences sometimes where you came right face to face with the living God, right into the holiest of all. Yet you know you don't dwell there. Hallelujah. But enough to have a taste of it to know that that's the place you want to be. Hallelujah. So I want to share with you a little tonight. I'm trusting God is going to put together what I'm going to speak, because I feel a stirring. Not just a stirring for the Word, but I feel a stirring for every person in this room. You see, when the message came this morning, which I believe was sent from God, was a challenge to all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it was indicative by the altar call when almost everybody came forward again. But you know, as Brother Bert was ministering this morning, and the first word came, there was something about what is happening over in Iraq that we began to pray. We began to rise up in the Spirit, because there was a cry. It goes beyond compassion. I think it's a word of almost emphasizing. You know, because as Brother Bert was ministering about Iraq, and Brother Mike had handed me that little article about these 30,000 people that were stranded on the mountain, and I was thinking, oh my God, what if it were me? What if it were my children? What if it were my children's children? Huh? What would I feel? What would I would be as if I were there? What would I want to do if someone would reach out their hand and reach out and bring me help? Hallelujah. 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 I think if it were that we had a plane outside here and the resources, we would make it a place to where we would take supplies to them. But we did something even better. We did something in the Spirit that we began to rise up. Hallelujah. Come on, say amen. The Bible says one can send 1,000 to flight, two can send 10,000. So the multiplication in this room, I can't even figure out. Who's the mathematician here? Who's the math teacher? One of these is a math teacher. I met him. I said I wasn't very good at math, but if you're a good mathematician, just figure the amount of people here, multiply it in the power of, what is it? 1 for 1,000, 2 for 10. Yeah, so is it the power of 10? Multiply, 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 multiply. You don't think that heaven heard our prayers and our cry? Hallelujah. And this is something, as the word was coming forth this morning, I began to think about that and started to think of my own place in my humanity and the place that God has to get, not only me, but the people of God, to the place that we need to be for what is being called the midnight hour. Hallelujah. It seems like almost an insurmountable mountain. It seems like a cliff that is sheer. Lord, how do I get from there to there? But the Lord says it's not by power. It's not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the Word says that all things are possible to those who believe. Hallelujah. You see, I believe in the kingdom message. Or I could say I believe in the apostolic word. Because I believe, and according to the hands that I've seen, I believe that we're living in the end times. That means for the return of Jesus Christ. But you know, God did something for you and I when it talks about us coming to an understanding that we are living in the latter days. It's something that I think we take lightly at times, but I don't. I really don't, because I believe that God did something in our hearing, that God doesn't give everyone the same hearing. And that hearing is the ability to hear the apostolic word of God. Hallelujah. Huh? Let me just explain a little bit here, and let's turn to Revelation chapter 11. Brother Bert, could you hand me my bottle of water, please? I think it's there. I appreciate my team so much. Wherever we go, I always carry water, but I always lose it. Okay, Revelation chapter 11. And we're going to talk a little bit about this midnight hour and what is going to happen during this time. But if we go to 11, and when you look at chapter 11 and chapter 12, it's speaking of the same thing. It just gives different, I wouldn't say viewpoints, but different vantage points in seeing what the Spirit is wanting to reveal to His people. Now here it is John, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos that received the revelation. So a lot of this is in the first person. And in chapter 11, verse 1, John says, "And there was given me," that would be John, he says, "a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, and the angel spoke, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein." Hallelujah. "But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy cities shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months." 40 and 2 months is what? 3.5 years. Brother Mark was talking about the 3.5 years. So let us look there for a second and think about this. John was given a measuring rod. Why was he given a measuring rod? It was for him to be able to understand about the temple of God. Now, what was the temple he was talking about? We had talked about the temple. You know, Jesus Christ is the temple of God. But the church is also the temple, and we also are those individual temples, right? And in this particular one, he was talking about the tabernacle. And raise your hands, how many of you have an understanding of tabernacle teachings? I'm pretty sure most of you do. Raise your hands if you have. Raise your hands high. I'd like to see it, if you would, please. Okay, see, I'm not talking to someone that's not uneducated or not as aware of much of the end time message. Hallelujah. So we see here that John was given a measuring rod, and he says, measure the temple and those that are in. But, he says, as you're measuring, he goes, don't measure the outer court. Don't measure it. It wasn't for him to be concerned. Now, I'm not talking about there wasn't a concern for the church, but there was something that was happening. That the outer court was being given over to the Gentiles to trample underfoot. Now we know that the outer court is representative of the outer court church. Remember what we had talked about the other night? That the true church is every blood-washed one? Huh? And so the outer court church, though, is a church that, yes, they've received salvation. And some of them, yes, may have even received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but yet because of the blockages of understanding the end time or disobedience to the Holy Ghost keeps them from being entering into the holy place. Now remember, how we define that is it says by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. I could be born again. I could be filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet, remember, we talked about the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit, but I choose if I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit in my soul, in my thinking, in my desires. Or I could say if I'm going to choose whether I want to obey the Holy Spirit or not. Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, we're talking about, this is talking about the end of time. And actually, there is, when we read about it, we're getting an understanding that there really are, in the church, there's three sections of the church. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And John is saying that this outer court, or the outer court church, is going to be given over to the Gentiles. I don't think that if they really knew they were giving themselves over to the Gentiles, they'd say, oh, come and trample over me. It's just that they do not know the revelation or the understanding of the calling and election in their lives, nor of the plan and purpose that God has in this hour. Hallelujah. Do you know a lot of these churches believe a lot of strange doctrines? Now, one of the biggest, strangest doctrines I could ever, never figure really understand is the rapture. How many people, you people know other people that believe in the rapture? You see a lot of people raise their hands. Hallelujah. You know, I think of a number of Christian denominations that teach on Revelation, and they have all the diagrams and all the things printed out, what's all happened. But then at the end they say, oh, don't worry about it. We're all going to be raptured out of here. We don't have to worry about it. Oh yes, the bad times are coming, but we don't have to worry. God's going to take us out right before it comes. No, 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 no. And I thank God, you know, when I was a young Christian, I didn't know any better. I think God sometimes saves the most ignorant because they're not filled with all the wrong doctrines and cannot, once you get a certain doctrine in it, do you know it's hard? It's hard to get free when you get a false doctrine inside of you. Huh? You don't realize the privilege you have when you have been given a word that I believe is the true word of God for the people in this hour. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Come on, I met some, what were they? Pentecostal, the one church that believes baptism in Jesus only.
UPC.
Yeah, UPC, United Pentecostal Church. Jesus only. You know, we in our fellowship, there were, I think it was four or five families came out of the UPC church and came to our fellowship for a year and a half. And one by one, they kept dropping off. They began to hear the word. They were blessed with it, but they couldn't give up the doctrines that had been indoctrinated in their lives. They couldn't get past the fact that you would baptize in no one other's name but the name of Jesus only. And, you know, they came shipwrecked. I'm telling you, these families, they were messed up by the devil through wrong doctrine. Hallelujah. One by one, they dropped off, and finally we had one man left that stood with us. He stayed with us for 4 years, and even then, The devil seemed to still have a hook in the man, and he got hung up on one scripture verse. It's in Hebrews chapter 13 that Jesus died without the camp. So you know what he said to us? He goes, there's no need to learn the tabernacle. Jesus died without the camp. You know, we tried to tell him. We tried to share with him. And finally we just sort of, well, we didn't give up, but we sort of thought we'd give him over to Brother DeCille. We said, Brother Cecil is coming. Why don't you talk to him, brother? I won't say his name. And so he did. That was close to 30 years ago. You know, that man suffered greatly. He was on a motorcycle accident, broke his neck, and from that point on, he walked with a limp, and he was partly paralyzed. And, you know, we love him dearly. I'd see him every so many years. But do you know what the end of the day ended up with him? Ultimate reconciliation. And he was unapologetic for it. And he says, oh, yes, I know, I believe it. And he came to our fellowship one day, 30 years later, trying to convince us about ultimate reconciliation. My heart goes out for the people of God. You see, God loves the outer court church. There's a scripture verse in the Old Testament. God says that he's not... It says that... I'm trying to think how it goes, but he is not... He has no pleasure in those that die. Think about it. He has no pleasure in those that die. And he's talking about the people of God. You see. God loved the world that he sent his son, but how much do you think he loves his church? The very church that he paid the price at Calvary for, the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about a little bit of this outer court church, for whatever reason. It is a place that they have not given themselves totally over in obedience to the Holy Spirit. So the devil, our enemy, is wroth. And he seeketh those who he may devour. Now do you think, remember we were talking about God knows everything. God knew the condition of this church age back, 2,000 years ago when he gave the revelation to John? God knew that the last church age would be the Laodicean church age. The lukewarm church. And you know, if you go out there, you'll find everybody, they feel that they've reached it. They've reached it. There's doctrines of prosperity, right? And you see the whole church is filled with self-help, or I should say psychology. Hallelujah. We met a man a couple of weeks ago. We were doing some evangelism at a county fair in Dubuque before we came here. And this pastor of this church came up. You know, I knew the man 30 years ago. He didn't know. He couldn't remember me, but I remembered him. And he was one that got very much into the faith movement. You know, confess it, believe it, you know, and his whole life. Well, his life really got sort of shipwrecked. Well, I shouldn't say sort of. I always try to talk it nice. But he got a divorce. His first wife got killed in a bus accident, and this man he came over, and Brother Wade and me were there talking with him, and he says, "Oh, this is really great what you're doing." And he says, "You know, we come up with a 5-step process to being saved." I go, "Really?" He goes, "Oh yes." He goes, "Yes. We just give them some material. We just say let them read, and you know, we don't even pray for them." He says, let them make the decision themselves. I'm thinking, my God, what's wrong with this man? He's not acting scriptural. And he's supposed to be they call himself a pastor. I would say he's the blind leading the blind. People are going to hell. And he says, oh, just here's a 5-step process. Just think, Nancy, if you were a sinner and you go, here's a little card. Just read this material. Walk away. Oh, well, God will take care of the rest. Come on now. Think of it. When you think of Scripture, you know, I was told one time, sheep never go after the shepherd, but the shepherd goes after the sheep. Why do you think Jesus had that parable about the 90 and 9 and the one that went astray? And he left the 99 and went and sought after that one sheep. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many things about God. I'm amazed. I'm amazed every day. That's what God brings an understanding to just even the simplicity of someone coming into the kingdom of God. Huh? Huh? God really loves you, young lady. Really does. Hallelujah. So, you know, a lot of the church thinks Jesus is going to just rapture them all away. And many of them are going to be martyred. Doesn't mean they're not going to be saved. But there will be many that will die by the sword. And yet God says to John, I want you to measure the temple and those that worship therein, in this place. Huh? Revelation 11. Let's keep reading. So John is told to measure the temple and to give him an understanding, see, of the end time. Amen? And verse 3 says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Hallelujah. Again, 3.5 years. But where it says, and I will give power to my two witnesses, is speaking what was being spoken today about a Gideon's army. 300. Amen? I will give power to my two witnesses. Now let us just think for a second here. Now, first of all, I think that most of us understand that when he says, I will give power to my two witnesses, it will be the man-child company. Is that correct? Raise your hands if you agree with that. Huh? Raise your hands. Okay. I don't see as many hands raised. Okay. Okay, still not as many. I think some probably don't really understand. Let me just share something with you. I think that there's something that God needs to open our understanding to the truth. I was in a meeting in the Czech Republic where came some men that were considered probably very knowledgeable in the Word of God, great leaders in their church, and they began to speak about Revelation. And they began to speak about the Revelation and the order in which God's return was. And I found out that as they were speaking that they did not have the understanding of the kingdom of God. They actually had it turned around. They thought that the physical coming of Jesus Christ was going to come and then was going to appear the five wise and the five foolish virgins. You know what they were doing? They were reading Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 chronologically. They were in error. You can't read your Bible chronologically because your Bible has not been written chronologically. It has been written by the Spirit. And there are times when you read in Matthew 24 and it jumps back even though it's in Matthew 25. Because you see, before the coming of Jesus Christ, there's two comings of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a coming of Jesus where every person, every eye will behold Him. The physical return of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Church has been waiting for the physical return of Jesus Christ for 2,000 years. Amen. Just a few amens. Hallelujah. Even the outer court church is waiting for the physical return of Jesus. Hallelujah. But they're waiting after the earth gets all fried up and we're all sitting somewhere, well, not me, I don't believe it, but they're all sitting on some faraway planet waiting for all the tribulation to end, and then they're all going to come back with Jesus. Wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. Because before Jesus comes back, where every eye will see Him, He is first coming secretly as a thief in the night. Hallelujah. He's coming secretly. A thief never knocks at your door, does he, at the front door and says, hey, I'm coming to your house tonight. Any of you ever getting your house broken into? Did they ever call you up by cell phone and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock. Leave the door open for me, will you? I don't think so. But you know, the scripture verses speak to us that Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night when we will least expect it. Huh? You read in Matthew 25, Jesus says, if I come in the first watch, he says, will I find faith on the earth? What if I come in the second watch? Or what if I come in the third? Hallelujah. You know, all these are little bits of how would I say the word? They're little clues to give us an understanding of what God is wanting to impart unto us in this hour. Hallelujah. So he says, I will give power to my two witnesses. When will that be? Well, if the two witnesses is the Man-Child Company, you can name it the 144,000 Gideon Army. What else there's there? There's First Fruits, Man-Child. You can go down the list. That this company of believers are going to come at a certain time. And that certain time is what we call midnight. And when you go into Matthew chapter 25, you see the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, right? I think a lot of us have read, how many of you have read many times the parable in Matthew 25? Almost everyone has here. Praise the Lord. And how many of you ever said, God, I want to be among the five wise? Oh, yes. I don't want to be among the five foolish. And you see the word today about the drinking of the water is the testing or the ability of whether we will be in which company or another. Hallelujah. But it all culminates at midnight. Sort of like the song we sing. We sing, I will be ready, Lord, at the midnight hour when the cry is made. When is midnight? I think you, Brother Mark, you were talking. It's the darkest time. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it out in the world. We're seeing it. You look out there and you see wars, rumors of wars, everything that Jesus said. You see pestilences. You see all these things. All of it is a sign of His coming. Hallelujah. Now, without the presence of God, it would be a scary thing. But if we live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, I believe that God is preparing a church for the midnight hour. Can we say amen? All right, now there's an interesting thing, because when you go over to the book of Daniel, let's turn over to Daniel for a minute. And I want to go to the last chapter of Daniel. Hallelujah. I really love the book of Daniel. There are so many things in the book of Daniel, how God revealed Himself to these four Hebrew children that were taken into captivity into Babylon. Huh? Isn't this Babylon we live in? Huh? Yet they chose not to defile themselves with the things of with the king's table, which was the king of Babylon. And yet through all that, God gave them wisdom. God gave them understanding. God gave them dreams. God gave them visions. Or God gave interpretations of the dream, even that Nebuchadnezzar had. Hallelujah. But you know, you go through, and if you don't read Daniel too much, please read it. Read it, read it, read it, read it. You young people, I want to tell you something. Huh? You know, in the United States, young people got what they call heroes. Basketball players, football players. They put them up on their walls. Oh, you know, I'd like to be like that. My God, help us. If any Christian of you have any of these worldly people on your walls, tear it down. Hallelujah. If you want to be, you want a hero, pick out Daniel in the Bible. Pick out David. Huh? Pick out Gideon. Come on. You grow strength spiritually when you say, my God, I'm reading about this individual. I want to be like him. Huh? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. David had his mighty men. Look at all these men right here. Huh? Jesus' mighty men right here. Right here, if you could believe it. Huh? All things are possible to those who believe. Huh? You know, when I was young, some man came up and prophesied to me, and he said, oh, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. You know where I was at the time? I was just like Gideon, thrashing behind the wine press, fearful. Yet, you talk to me, God, that I'm Gideon? Hallelujah. But God looks at you what you're not, but what you're called to be. Hallelujah. Huh? Some of you don't realize the calling and election in your life, but I believe and I am praying that you will understand it before you leave this conference here. You will understand the calling and election in your life and the plan and purpose of God. So we see here Daniel. Daniel was, my God, he had such a relationship with God that he could interpret dreams. He had a place of a relationship that he became third in the kingdom, not only of Babylon, but also of Darius. And was it three kingdoms that he went through? Huh? He survived. Hallelujah. Not only survived, he thrived. And every one of those nations glorified God when they saw the presence of God working within that man. And here was this man that was of the captivity of Babylon, and he was seeking the face of God concerning the plight, not just of himself, but for his nation. Hallelujah. That's another clue. You know, when we talk about being a first fruit company, it's not just thinking of ourselves and just overcoming. It's thinking of God's purpose, God's plan, God's nation. Hallelujah. That's why I appreciated this morning. We began to be lifted up higher because we began to see that there is a vision, there is a calling, an election in our lives, that we have the power and the authority to begin to bind the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just what do you think will happen if you, as a people here in Nigeria, with Ebola knocking at your door, that you go down and you begin to say, God, not here. Huh? Not here. And I'm talking not just saying it with the mind, but getting down into the heart of God and beginning to push back the powers of darkness. Hallelujah. 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 So Daniel began to seek God by fasting and prayer. He wanted to know about the end of the captivity of the people of Israel in his time. And he went in and he sought the scriptures, didn't he not? And he found out by the book of Jeremiah that the years of captivity was for 70 years. Now God comes to him. God comes to him not only to seek about, to give him an answer about the people of his time, but God was giving him an answer for all the church, all the way down to the end of midnight. Hallelujah. He began to give him visions about the kingdoms that were going to be set up and the kingdoms that were going to be torn down. There were things that were happening to him in the spirit he couldn't even utter. And when it came, let's turn to Daniel. Let's look at the last chapter of what God spoke to Daniel in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to turn to chapter 12. And I'm going to read some of these verses here as the Lord leads me. Chapter 12, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up." Praise be to God. Michael who? The archangel. He's going to stand up at the end of time. And it says, "And the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered." Hallelujah. At that time. Hallelujah. It says that there was a war in heaven, Revelation 12. Michael and his angels fought against the angel, the princes of darkness. Hallelujah. So it says here, "And those people shall be delivered, at every one that shall be found written in the book." What book? The book of life. Huh? How many of us know that our names are written in the book of life? Okay, if you don't know, let us get down and pray for you so you know it. Huh? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." Man, I want my firmament to shine bright. How about you? "And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Hallelujah. That means that we are called to be saviors. Do you remember the book of Obadiah? It says, "And saviors shall come up on the mount of Esau." Hallelujah. God is preparing a people. Hallelujah. Not only to deliver themselves, but to deliver others. That's why, you know, Jesus says, "You're the light of the world." Think of it. Think of it. Do you consider yourself a light of the world? Huh? Huh? Sometimes our light can be a little dim, though, can't it? Huh? We gotta dust it off. We gotta get some amperage in it, voltage, electricity, make our lights bright. Amen. Verse 4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." To and fro, to and fro. Who runs like to and fro? The devil does? And sometimes the church does too. Huh? You know, one of the opportunities, I don't know why God brought me at the certain time and where He brought me in Dubuque, Iowa, when I was born again, in the midst of a very Catholic city, probably 87% Catholic. But you know, the remaining 10 or 11%, it was a very small Christian community. We had all of the denominations in that little Christian community. Baptist Church, First Baptist, Southern Baptist, Grace Baptist, go on, First Presbyterian, Second Presbyterian, Third Presbyterian. You had your Pentecostal churches. You had your Assembly of God. You had such and such and such and such and such and such. And all these were little groups, little fellowships. They weren't compared to the big Catholic churches that I grew up in. But nevertheless, they were Christian. They were our brethren. And when I first got saved, that was the first people I began to meet. And I tell you, when I met them, I loved them. Because they were genuine. They had the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know something I found out during that first year? God brought us to this end time word, but I was also seeing how this segment of Christianity, it was just a small one, but you could put it anywhere in the world to tell you the truth. And they would have what you would call revivals, and or they'd have a faith healing person come to town. Huh? And you know, all these, now out of every church, there's a segment of believers that are more what you call a core than all the others. And it seemed that if someone came and had a very good testimony, a Christian coming, and they were having like a revival or they were wanting to save souls, they would bring in these certain ministries, and all these little groups would come out of all these little churches and they'd work together. Huh? They'd work together. And they'd go here and they'd go there. And when I was first saved, you know, I first went to one of these healing ministries, you know. And I'm there and I'm just wanting God. And this man comes up and he goes, "Hey, you want to help?" I go, "Sure." He goes, "Well, you can be a catcher." I go, "Catcher? Oh, yes. Get up on the stage and when they knock the people down, you catch them." Oh, I tell you what, my eyes were opened, I'll tell you, in those days. But, you know, through it all, I found something out. The first time the apostolic word came to Dubuque, Iowa, we had went to a conference in Rockford, Illinois, and Brother Ducille came to Dubuque and began to minister in our group. Well, because we knew all these people, we thought, great, we will invite all this little cross-section of all these people that really have a heart for God to come and listen to Brother Ducille. It was the first time he was coming. So we brought him there and we met at this labor temple. And they all came. Some, like I said, some came from the Lutheran church, some came from the Presbyterian church, some came from no churches. They were just out there, independent. But, you know, I found out something that was wrong with what you call the outer court church. They were looking for signs and wonders. And I still remember this day. These three older people came in that first night. And first time I ever met them. And Brother Ducille was up ministering. When he got done, they walked out. They were mumbling and grumbling and complaining. They said, "We didn't see anything. Where was the move of God? Where was the healing? Where was the signs? Where were the wonders?" Hallelujah. We had three meetings that weekend. And the second day, oh, and I was so excited. You know, I invited all my family that weren't saved, you know, and several of them came. And I'm saying, "Shh, wait till they hear Brother Ducille minister." Oh, I was, you know, they'll all be set free. Oh, God help us. Boy, were my eyes open in those days. So we had that second meeting. And I'm watching and I'm seeing all these people disinterested. Brother Ducille's up ministering and he's ministering about the end time. I think the night before he had ministered on the seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. The second day, I believe he was ministering on the 7 days of creation and the end of time. And I'm looking around and all these Christians and even some of my family members, it was like it was the most boring thing they ever heard. And I'm starting to get odd, you know. I'm thinking, what's happening here? Why aren't they hearing what I'm hearing? And again, more people left. And we had a break in between two meetings, you know. And I remember I was up front talking with some of the brethren, and the sisters in our fellowship had prepared a lunch for everybody. So they were in the back kitchen, and they were getting everything out. And Brother Duciel happened to be back there at the same time. And there was a commotion that went on. All of a sudden, I heard some people were moving back, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm not aware of what's happening. Oh, something's going on back there. Well, what was going on was my wife was carrying this big crock pot. You know, crock pots, they plug them in electrically, and they cook your food for 6 hours. And so the liquids in them are very hot, boiling, in fact. Well, when she was carrying it out, someone bumped into her, and the sauce came out and poured onto her arm and poured onto her skirt. And a brother Ducia was standing by. He rushed over to her. He grabbed her arm, just like this young lady. He grabbed her arm and it said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this. You shall not suffer any harm or residual effect to this." Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I got back there. My wife told me what happened. And she said, you know, she goes, I need to change my outfit. Huh? How many of you ladies want to wear spilt stuff all over you for the whole afternoon meetings? So we lived about probably 10 minutes away. So I drive my wife home and she's telling me what happened. And she goes upstairs and she changes and she comes down and she says, George, look. She raises out her head. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Huh? It was the miracle of God that happened. Huh? But you know, the miracle isn't, you know, the people walked away scoffing. God isn't going to show the unbelievers. Huh? Huh? Hallelujah. And you know, by the time that conference ended, all those people we invited never came back again. We're still back to the same group. But it's taught me a lesson. It taught me that it's only God that can open the ears. Huh? I'm going to share something else with you that God brought me. I don't know, maybe it was 10 years ago, a dream. And in the dream, I was standing there in front of a group of people, and Brother Duciel was there, and he had a brown paper bag in his hand. And he went around, and out of that paper bag, he took a golden earring. And he went up to every person in that room with the golden earring, and he went to their right ear. I always got to turn around, make sure where my right is, so I do it. Right here, touch the right ear. Put the ear, and as soon as the gold earring went on the ear, they began to hear God. Huh? Anybody like to have that golden earring? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, you might have it more than you realize. Huh? Well, anyway, I was, you know, one was put on me, and I was hearing people were eyes were lighting up just like yours is right now. I'm hearing. But you know, then I saw something that was most distressing thing. I saw some individuals go, took the earring off, and they go, "Yeah, I'm not hearing anything." Dropped it back in the paper bag. Huh? You think about that. You think about that if you're one of those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying in the end time. Huh? So we're talking about Daniel. And we're talking about Daniel was given an understanding of the end time. But yet, at the end of time, we'll go down here and read it. It says in Daniel 12. We read, he says, "Many shall run to and fro." And that's what you're seeing in the church today, you understand. You're seeing many people running here, running there. And what did Jesus say? He says, if any man says, what? Here is Christ, there is Christ. He says, believe them not. For what? For the kingdom of God is within you. You know, that is one of the greatest things, revelation, that if you can understand that the kingdom of God is within you, because if you seek, the Bible says, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The problem with many Christians is They're wanting to seek other things first, and then they put the kingdom of God afterwards. Wrong order. Right? Wrong order. God wants to bless each one of us. What lies ahead in our lives, money can't buy. But the price to pay is obedience to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God. So it says, this is what's going to happen. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. There, you know, the Bible is three-dimensional. There's a natural, there's a spiritual, there's a fullness. There is a natural increase of knowledge that has never been before in the history of mankind. All you have to look is all the sciences, all the technologies, and it's multiplying before our very eyes. In fact, to the point that some of the things you read now, you know it's the beast setting up. They're making computers that have a brain like you. I'm going to tell you what to do. My God, help us. Hallelujah. They're learning how to clone humans. To take all the perfections out. It's the same as the Tower of Babel. They're building a tower because they want to be equal with God. Hallelujah. But as the Tower of Babel, they're only going to go so far. And I believe it's midnight and they can't go any farther. So that's knowledge in the natural. But in the spiritual, I want to tell you something. God is opening up the Word of God to His people. Because, see, Daniel started to see visions that no one else saw, and yet God told him, seal up the book, for it's at the time of the end. Now, if you go down to verse 8, and it says, and Daniel says, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, Daniel said this, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Huh? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Listen on. Many shall be purified and made white. Gosh, I want to be one of them, don't you? Huh? Made purified, white, and... We all want to be white and purified, but do we want to be tried? Tribulation, what? Worketh patience. Patience, experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which He has given unto us. Hallelujah. So, and verse 9 says, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I must have skipped a verse, but that's all right. So we see that many are going to be made white, purified, and tried, but it says the wicked shall do wickedly. Do you ever get offended by a sinner sinning? Don't. Don't ever get offended by a sinner sinning. They come up and they curse you, just praise God. They're only doing what they were born to do, is to sin. You know, that came a great revelation to me. Sinners sin. I can't blame them. I got to pray for them that they get saved. Hallelujah. And you should have a burden for people to get saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't see this man that was here yesterday. What was it? Not yesterday, the day before yesterday. Sitting right over here, Brother Mike. He was bigger than you. He was a big man. Huh? Any of you noticed him? Yeah, and you know, he was in here, and we were walking out, and he came walking out, and so we began to greet and talk to him. And we said, oh, you belong to this fellowship? He goes, no, this is the first time I was here. He goes, you know very many here? He goes, no, not really. And he started telling us he was from the Netherlands. And I said, oh, really? I said, well... And I looked at him, I said, are you born again? And he said, no. And I go, what did you think of the meeting? He goes, very interesting, I wrote a lot of notes. And I said, well, and I'm starting to think, what is this man? Is he a Muslim or what? I don't know. And I said, well, I says, do you believe in God? He goes, well, I'm investigating it. I appreciate his honesty. Huh? I appreciated his honesty. Hallelujah. But you know, I had to repent before God. I wish I had a Mr. Pegalo to give him. I wish I had a piece of literature. He said he might be coming back here. So if you have any Mr. Pegalos here, please give me one. I want to give him one while he's here. Hallelujah. 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 God is about is bringing people. And you know what he said, how he got here? He said, my cousin, I don't know who, you know, maybe one of his cousins right here tonight. He goes, my cousin said I should come over here. Oh, a cousin's mother. Oh. Say that. Okay, well, she said, the mother said, why are you in bed? Get up and go to the meeting. I would say that God sent him to the meeting, wouldn't you? Huh? Hallelujah. There takes to be a sensitivity. Hallelujah. Some of you, God, are called to be fishers of men, to go after them. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get so bound up in our own little problems, we think that our sphere of influence is only 3 feet away. But you got to get outside of yourself. You do. Because there's a job to do. There's a great job that we have to do in taking the authority and taking the kingdom of God. It says the kingdom of God what? Suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. You sit back, you know, if you want to have a fish, you got to go fishing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it says here, the wicked shall do wickedly. We're going to see many things. Psalm 91. It says, 1,000 shall fall by our side and 10,000 by our... But it says, it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. You need to believe it. You need to believe it. You need to believe it. We've been hearing some reports that the brethren are very fearful of Ebola. You have to get beyond fear. You have to believe in your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a 94-year-old aunt. I work for her at times. She needs somebody to clean her house, do her garden, so I'm retired. I go over there and I help her. She's Roman Catholic, been all of her life. She's got books stacked up right and left of everything from the Catholic Church. And that's where my mom grew up. And that was my mom's family. Knew them very well. I mean, they were a family that were very zealous for God, for what they knew to be God, the Catholic Church. And so when we got saved 34 years ago, it really brought a reverberation. And it really, you know, it's almost like a Muslim turning from their faith and accepting Christ in their life is a Catholic becoming a Christian and turning from the Catholic Church. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember my mother coming over to my house a year after we got saved, and she wouldn't talk to me, but she talked to Sue. And she said, Sue, I'm very worried. She goes, I think George has gone too far. I think he's going to leave the Catholic Church. And he goes, and my wife said, Mom, I'm sorry, we already have. And this is the environment. I got to tell you, you know, the Catholics and true Catholics, they won't read any books of evangelical things. The only thing they will read is official Catholic books that have what they call the Catholic imprimatur on the front page of the title page. You know what an imprimatur is? It's the official seal of the Vatican that says this is Catholic approved for you to read. Hallelujah. But you know what? Over the years, my 94-year-old aunt has read Mr. Pegalo. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you about my aunt because, see, before I came on this trip, I think it was, in fact, it was Monday. She called me up. I'm getting ready for the trip to go on Tuesday. And you know, sometimes things come to you in an inconvenient way. And you got to recognize the Spirit of God and just walk in obedience to what the Spirit wants to do. So my wife, my aunt comes, she goes, you haven't been over? Well, I got all this stuff that needs to be done. I'm thinking I got all this to do. And I go, all right, I'll come. And so I'm over there and I'm working with her and I get all done. That's a story in itself, but I won't say that here. God bless her. But I'm sitting down at the table and she looks at me and she knows where I'm going all over the world. And all of a sudden, she says, George, are you ever afraid when you go on these trips? And I thought for a second, you know, I've been traveling overseas since 1989, since Brother Bert and me first went to Iceland, gone to India, Eastern Europe, Africa, Philippines. And I thought for a second, and I without hesitation, I said, you know, Aunt Kate, I said, yeah, fear comes on for just a moment. I go, but I just shake it off because I know God is going with us. I says, I don't fear then. And I said, we've been in places where there was great opportunities to fear. Hallelujah. But I tell you something else, and it's going to come to a greater frequency to the church and to you as well, is that when you're on the mission field, there is things that happen because God is doing something because you are going into the enemy's territory. Hallelujah. We have had many times where God intervened in our lives, didn't he, Brother Bert? Intervened in our lives to save us out of circumstances and situations that the devil was going to kill us. God would come to us by vision or by dream and says, ah, don't go here, go over there. Doesn't that sound scriptural? Huh? I'm telling you something about the power of God in this hour. We went to a trip into Eastern Europe one time. God gives us a dream and lays out the whole 3 days of meetings that we're at. He tells us exactly what's going to happen and all of his remedies. And we saw in the next 3 days everything unfold exactly as the dream said. Hallelujah. You know, it's one of the marvelous things to rest in God when God comes and speaks to you directly. Hallelujah. Huh? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Brother Bert was ministering this morning about now, not down the line. Now. Now is the day of your salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time that the Spirit of God is moving in your life. Don't resist Him. Open yourself up because we do not know. We do not know when midnight's coming. It could come tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready to be part of the five wise virgins tonight? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Arise, for the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Do you got the oil? Do you got the oil in your vessel? You may have it in your lamp. You may have the Holy Spirit, but do you have it in your soul? Do you have them working in your soul to the degree that God says, wise? Wise. Or will he say, foolish? Hallelujah. So let us go back. We see here, the wicked shall do wicked. It says, but none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise. Come on, everybody. But the wise shall understand. Huh? Do you know the revelation of Jesus Christ is unfolding every day that we walk, especially when we gather together, conferences, that the Spirit of God is moving? Huh? Have we come here to listen to man or to God? I hope we came to listen to God. I don't want to listen to me. It says that even in my best day of my life is altogether vanity. I am nothing. We are nothing as humans. But in Christ, hallelujah, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And we need it for this hour, brethren. It's getting darker and darker. Let's turn to Revelation 11 again. So the wise shall understand. And this is what I believe God is wanting us to understand. Midnight's coming. But at midnight is going to be the glorious time on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. For verse 3 says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? What does it mean he's going to give power to his two witnesses? Well, if I have the Holy Spirit, don't I have the power of the Holy Spirit now? Yes. But we only have it in measure. Huh? We only have it in measure. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians And I know it's, is it 14? Okay, praise the Lord. And we'll start at 13. It says, in whom you also trusted, right? After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, all right, it's talking about salvation, it's talking about the brazen altar, but now it's talking, it says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of the glory of God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you do that in Nigeria here, but in the United States, when you buy a bottle of pop, you pay for the pop, but you got to pay a deposit. Do you pay for a deposit for that bottle? If someone gives you a bottle, do you have to pay like a so much money and they'll give it back to you? Huh? Yeah, they do. Well, that's talking about redemption. It's giving you're giving them a small amount, but you're going to get it back. Huh? So when we are baptized in the Holy Ghost, God gives us the Holy Spirit in our spirit, but the fullness has not come in our soul. Amen? But here it says that we have been given the earnest of our inheritance. But when you look into Revelation chapter 11, where it says, and I will give power to my two witness company, hallelujah, it's talking about the Spirit of God coming within the temple of God, us, the temple of God, to those that are the five wise virgins into our soul without measure. That means the fullness of Christ will come into us to those that are the five wise virgins at midnight. Hallelujah. And then we'll begin a 3.5 years of ministry for the people of God or the first fruit company. Hallelujah. Why am I sharing all this? It's good for you to make sure your foundation is sure. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people that I know have a lot of knowledge about the tabernacle and everything, but they don't know the simple foundational truths. Huh? Do you know why I know that? Here we were fellowshipping for many years, and we had a conference down in Jamaica, and we started to break up in groups. And Brother Dusil says, I want all the elders here to take over each group. And we found out that the elders didn't even know the doctrines of God as they should. Hallelujah. And then one night I'm up in a room with a lot of people, and there were these two individuals that had a lot of head knowledge of the end time. And they began to teach. And I thought, oh my God, they know nothing about the coming of Jesus Christ. They said, oh, we know type and shadow, we know this and this. And it was all mumble jumble. Do you know why? You know why I know the difference? Because I know the apostolic word. And here's the key that I'm telling you about. You see, in the end time, God told Daniel, the book will be sealed until the end of time, but it will be opened, and knowledge will come to his people. Do you know what knowledge came to us? The golden earring. Come on. Listen to me. The golden earring came to us. The Word of God says that the foundation of the church is built on what? The apostles and the prophets. And it was all taken away. Shortly after many of the early church died off. And of course, you know, look at the history that the Roman Catholic Church came into being. And then they had the Dark Ages. And slowly, 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 Revelation started getting back to the church. Salvation through Martin Luther. Hallelujah. The Baptists brought in an understanding the need to be water baptized. Hallelujah. But I believe, brethren, I believe that God has given us something that will carry us on to midnight. And that is the apostolic word. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not the greatest revelation teacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not gifted that way. But I do know what God came to me and how He opened my understanding to be able to discern between truth and that which is not truth. To be able to discern the true servants of God, the true ministry of God. You know what's important for you to be able to discern the true ministry? Huh? Didn't Jesus said many will come in my name? Huh? Yeah, brethren, if I am challenging you, I'm hoping I'm challenging you. Because you need to get down on your knees to God. And if you don't understand, say, God, bring understanding to me. Hallelujah. And if you have a certain understanding, then determine in your heart what you're going to do with that understanding. Amen? Because God says, many are called, but few are chosen. I want to be part of the chosen group. Hallelujah. Amen. You read on into this Revelation 11. Hallelujah. There are some things that, as Brother Bert was ministering this morning, started to prick me concerning the 3.5 years. When he began to speak about Jesus' Gethsemane experience and how the disciples slept, I began to think of what he endured. Not only the cross, but the afflictions, the mockings, the scourgings, and all those. Do you think it'll be any different for the First Fruit Company? It says here in verse 3 that they're going to prophesy 1,260 days, but it says they're clothed in sackcloth. Hallelujah. So whatever our Lord went through, if we're going to be part of the First Fruit Company, we're going to have to suffer the same fate. Does everybody still want to be part of the First Fruit Company? Hallelujah. It goes on and says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. What are the two olive trees? It's speaking of the Spirit and the Word. Hallelujah. I think we were talking about it the other night. It is not two individuals, but it is talking of a spiritual understanding that's in the book of Zechariah. It says those that move in the Spirit and in the Word of God. Hallelujah. There's many that can move in the Word but can't move in the Spirit. And some that move in the Spirit but do not have it coupled with the Word of God. And you know the church needs to discern the Spirit that is among them. Do you know that there are people that say they are of an end time people and are of an end time ministry and they're moving in divination? And I'm going to tell you something else. That a spirit divination can be so very close to the Spirit of God, yet be of the devil. And it's up to the church to discern the Spirit of God from the spirit of divination. Hallelujah. 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 Pray about it. Say, God, I want to discern. Not only as individuals, but as a church. Hallelujah. So this two witness company is going to move in the same anointing that Jesus Christ moved in for the same amount of years of ministry. Yet they're going to suffer exactly what he suffered. And all the while, now if you go into Revelation 12, and we don't have time tonight to go into all that, but it's so marvelous to see about this, again, another type. 11, same as 12. He saw a great vision. He saw what? He saw a woman clothed with the sun standing upon a moon and was bringing forth a child. And it's speaking about a church standing upon a church bringing forth another church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The woman standing upon that old order church is the outer court church, the moon church. It reflects light, but it's not a life giver. The woman herself is clothed with the stars and the sun. It's talking about the holy place church. And out of that holy place church, it's going to bring forth a man child that's going to rule all nations. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants you to be part of that man child church. And young people, doesn't matter. God can fill you with His fullness if you want it. Hallelujah. There's no age restriction. It doesn't say from this age to this age. No, no, no. It's for whomsoever will. Hallelujah. Amen. Now it says here, it says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. Well, in the Old Testament, there was fire that came down. But you know, when you read the Word of God, it says, is it not my word like a fire? Huh? Prophesy. Speak life. Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. How do you think we're being prepared to be part of the first fruit company? Do you think it's just going to, we desire it one day, the next day we can do it? No. It's by obedience to the Spirit of God. Because you know what? Can I share something with you? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Coming, coming, coming. Incrementally, He's coming. He's coming today. He's come yesterday. How many of you opened your heart up yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Amen. He came to you yesterday. He wants to come to you today. He wants to come to you tomorrow. Little by little, we were singing that song, little by little, He's changing me. He's changing me. My blessed Savior. I'm not the same old man I used to be. I'm not the same old one that I used to be. But you know what? It is slow going at times. I can't see it at times. And sometimes I think, God, I'm probably the hardest rock that You have to break open. But you know what? All of a sudden I look back, I go, I'm not doing the same thing I used to do. Hallelujah. He's changing me. And the purpose that He's changing me is because He wants to come into me without measure. He wants to come into my soul. He wants to come completely into my mind and my emotions and my desires and my will to be put over to the complete will of the Father. Hallelujah. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, it says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. They could not kill Jesus. The Pharisees hated, they plotted, they tried to do what they could. Do you remember the one time where they all rushed in, they were going to throw him over the cliff, and he just walked right through them. Hallelujah. Be given that same thing to the two witness company. Hallelujah. And you know, if God sees you, do you think God isn't working on your behalf night and day now, preparing you for that time? Do you think God's going to allow for you to be killed if your destiny is to be part of the first fruit company? He's going to work. He's not going to allow the enemy to destroy you. Hallelujah. The only one that can destroy you is you yourself if you don't walk in obedience to God. If you walk out of the shadow of His under the shadow of His wing. Then we're in trouble. Huh? Hallelujah. So it says, verse 6, these have power to shut heaven, that it rained not in the days of their prophecy. Who did that? Who shut up heaven? Elijah did. He had the power to shut up heaven. Do you think Ahab was happy about that? Oh, no, 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 no. Huh? And Ahab had to endure hardship during that time. Says they have power over waters to turn them to blood. Who turned water to blood? Moses. Hallelujah. And it says, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. I think we'd need the mind of Christ to have that type of power. Would you think so? Hallelujah. And now look at verse 7. It says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome and kill them. Doesn't seem like a very good ending, does it? And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Listen to that part. Did you hear that? That was saying that they will be, their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. That means that in Jerusalem, it says that that's what Jerusalem was spiritually, because it says that's where also our Lord was crucified. I don't know what the end will be as far as the type of death they will put the sons of God together in. It doesn't say in Revelation, does it, Brother Mark? Some were beheaded, weren't they? That they're beheaded. I don't know, but you know, it was very interesting. This army called ISIS started to bring back the crucifixion. Did you read that? Did you know that? They started crucifying their enemies. Huh? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. How many of the apostles were crucified? I know that Peter was crucified upside down, according to the reports. How many were there, Mark? You remember some of them? A number of them were, weren't they?
They were all martyred.
They were all martyred. Hallelujah. But you know, if that's the end of the story, if that was the end of the story, I think it would be sort of a letdown. But 11, it says in verse 10, oh wait, it says in verse 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. God didn't allow it for a reason. Verse 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. I think that's speaking about what friendship of the world is. What does it say in John? Friendship of the world is an enemy to God. An enmity. Hallelujah. Well, see what the fullness of the world does. They're going to rejoice over the prophets of God. But, verse 11, after these 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Come on, I was telling you about midnight. I was telling you about 3.5 years. I was telling you about death. But I'm telling you about resurrection. I'm willing to die knowing that in 3.5 days I'm going to rise again. Huh? Go ahead, crucify me. Do what you might. But I'm going to rise in the 3.5 days as my Lord and Savior did if I'm part of that first fruit company. Hallelujah. It says, great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Hallelujah. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Hallelujah. 3.5 years is given on. And when they rise on the third day, that's when Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth. That's the progression. That is the timeline. That is the plan and purpose of God. That is the apostolic word that's coming to the church. Get it into your thought pattern. Get it into your doctrines. Hallelujah. I believe they're true. I believe it with all my might. I've been believing it for 34 years. Hallelujah. Why am I telling you that? Get your basic doctrines down, because many are going to come, and they'll come with a little slight different doctrine. And if you believe that doctrine, it's going to take you off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 15 says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their face and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks. We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. Hallelujah. He's going to reign on the earth. Hallelujah. He wants to reign in us. Hallelujah. So if He wants to reign in us, what place and position do we have with this world or with sin? Huh? If grace abounds, shall we sin? No, God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin serve sin any longer? Make a determined effort in your mind, you young people. For the devil, he's out there. He's walking about seeking who he may devour. Huh? But you're to stand steadfast. Resist him. Oh yeah, the devil comes to your mind. He wants to tempt you and tempt you. Have you ever get tempted and tempted and tempted and tempted? Huh? Oh yeah, he doesn't give up except when you say no. Because the Bible says, resist the devil, he must flee from you. He's a liar. He's a liar. There is no way that he can overcome you. You have the power to stop him. You have the power to cast him out of your soul. Hallelujah. The devil looks. He sees that God's going to raise up an army of people. He sees that you have the capability and the power, if you obey God, to destroy him. That's why he comes after you. That's why he wants to come and say, okay, I'm bringing my family spirits against you. I'm bringing these national spirits against you. And you have to say, no. No. I love my family, but I am now of the family of God. I have been born under the nationality of Nigeria, but I am of the nationality of heaven. Hallelujah. That's why if you believe God, you're no more of the nationality of your nation, but you're in the nationality of the kingdom of God. That means you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I exhort you. I don't know what the proper implore is. Implore is a good word. Implore you. I implore you. Get into God. I'm telling you, brethren, I've seen enough destruction. I've seen enough destruction in people I love. I see enough destruction in people's lives. And seen what the devil can do. And I've seen, especially when it comes to the young people that turn away from God or begin just to get involved in the world. And they lose their vision. They lose their hope. Huh? The Bible says that without a vision, my people perish. That's why this camp, it's not just because you have a camp every year, it's because this is probably the most important time of your lives to make the decision to serve God, to love Him, to make Him number one in your life, to give yourself wholly to God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that God says He descended and He says He gave gifts to men. There are some of you in here that are prophets, prophetesses. Some of you that are going to have visions and dreams. Huh? Some of you are going to be able to discern spirits. Some of you are going to be able to interpret dreams. Some of you are going to have the gift of faith, the gift of healing. I don't know. God knows. But God says He gives gifts to every one of you. But do you know what? Those gifts will never be fulfilled or matured without the obedience to Jesus Christ. Huh? They will never come to fruition. Oh, you may see them operate to a certain degree. Or if you're not walking in obedience, the devil will twist it and turn it. Some that would prophesy or had the gift of prophecy, because of disobedience, prophecy turned to divination. Can it happen to the people of God? Yes. Good example in the Old Testament, Saul. Now, once Saul disobeyed, what happened to him? What came into him? An evil spirit. And at the end of the day, you know, he would at the beginning of his time and of his kingdom, who was his counsel? Samuel. At the end of his kingdom, who was his counsel? The witch of Endor. Hallelujah. Could it happen to any one of us? Oh yeah. If we don't walk in obedience to God. Because if we reject God and reject God and reject God, we're not only rejecting, we're accepting something else. Hallelujah. So let me just close here. And let me just share with you that God does have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. And I'm speaking especially you young people, whether you're 4, whether you're 24. And I pray that you would get in touch with the living God and let Him move in your life, because He knows you very, very well. And there is nothing that is too difficult for God. Huh? Nothing that is too difficult for God. You put God first. You commit your life to God. He'll take care of everything else. All your other worries, all your other concerns, it's time to lay them at the altar of God and just say, God, if you have been given that golden earring to hear the apostolic word and to understand that Jesus is coming to a people, and that He's going to, and He has called you to the first fruit company, Fight for it with all your heart. Hallelujah. And God will take care of the rest. I guarantee it. He will move heaven and earth on your behalf to bring you everything that you need to fulfill that calling and election in your life. He'll bring ministry. He'll do whatever. He will bring people to your doorstep. He will bring the reality of the presence of God into your soul. Hallelujah. And you'll be able to discern between good and evil, and you'll choose the good, and you'll reject the evil. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight.
Thank you.